Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And I'll be reading verses 9 through 25. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. A man named Simon had previously practiced sorcery in that city and amazed the Samaritan people while claiming to be somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least of them to the greatest. And they said, "This man is called the great power of God." They were attentive to him because he had amazed them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Even Simon himself believed. And after he was baptized, he followed Philip everywhere and was amazed as he observed the signs and great miracles that were being performed. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. After they went down there, they prayed for them so the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit, because it had not yet come down on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power so that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter told him, "May your silver be destroyed with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this matter, because your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, your heart's intent may be forgiven. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by wickedness." "Pray to the Lord for me," Simon replied, "so that nothing you have said may happen to me." So after they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they traveled back to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. You may be seated. Wednesday, we were looking at the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 8. Stephen, in chapter 7, had been stoned for his testimony of the truth and for confronting the religious leaders of the day with being hypocrites. They were accusing and were holding Stephen on trial for ignoring the teachings of Moses, for not revering the temple of God properly. And Stephen had shown them they were the ones that were ignoring God's word. They were just like their forefathers. When Moses was on the mountain, they were creating gods of their own design. When Moses said, "Worship God only," that's what God said. They were worshiping this false god. They were having parties to a false god and doing all kinds of things that should not be done. When God is the one that brought them out of Egypt, they said, "We don't like what this is like here out in the desert. Let's go back to Egypt. Things were so much better when we were slaves in Egypt." They were ignoring the truth of God. And the Sanhedrin, pretending like they're holy before God, Stephen tells him, "You're doing just like all the prophets of old like your ancestors had done to all the prophets of old. Which of the prophets of old, speaking forth the truth of God, did your ancestors not persecute? You're doing the same thing." Now, in chapter 2 of Acts, Peter had said something similar to the devout that were gathered at Pentecost. They heard the sound of the rushing wind. They came in and they heard a very similar message from Peter. But they said, "What should we do?" Peter says, "Repent." What did the Sanhedrin do and those that had gathered to accuse Stephen? They were angry and they gnashed their teeth and they drug Stephen out and killed him. When a stoning was done in the Old Testament, the witnesses that had accused the individual were the first to cast the stones and then the rest. It said these false witnesses laid their coats at the feet of Saul. And Saul was approving of the death of Stephen. The crowd that had been approving the New Testament church in Jerusalem, as we look at all the way up to chapter 7, it says the people, the church grew as God added to their number every day, and they were enjoying the favor of God and men, and they met together in the temple and from house to house. Now that crowd, they're going, "Go Christian, go Christian." We're saying, "Kill them. Kill the Christians. Kill the Christians." We need to remember that we need to trust our lives not to men, but to God. And Stephen understood that. He echoed the words of Jesus on the cross, said, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." Stephen said, "I see heaven open, and there is the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Most of the time we see that Scripture says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And I like what one commentator said. Why was he standing? He said, "Come on in, Stephen. Welcome home." Stephen knew where home was. And God allowed Stephen to see what's really behind the scenes. If you've ever seen a movie, you only see what's in front of the camera. If you see a making of the movie, you see the camera there, and there's, and then the making of the movie has another camera showing all the guys with the cameras behind the scenes and everything else that when you're watching a movie, you don't see, but it's all there. I remember one scene in the movie Castaway, that he's supposed to be up on the top of this high mountain. It's at the peak, but behind the scenes, you see it's just right on the edge of a road, and their little camera truck is sitting on the road, and he's just on the edge of the road, and in the movie, it makes it look like he's at the top of the highest mountain on this island, but he's not. It's make-believe. It's not the whole truth. It's part of the truth. And those have seen other movies and behind the scenes, you can see all these things. It sort of, in some ways, spoils the illusion. But if you know what the whole truth is, you say, that's how everything fits together. Stephen was shown what was behind the scenes. This Sanhedrin thing is not the real thing. It's not the ultimate authority. Stephen got to see the ultimate authority right before he went home. And then what was his final comment? "Lord, don't hold this against them." Stephen wanted these people that were killing him to have an opportunity to get to heaven too. And what happened then after Stephen died? The crowd started persecuting the Christians instead of cheering them on. And it says all except the apostles left Jerusalem. But an interesting thing happened. Look at verse 4 of chapter 8. "So those who were scattered went on their way preaching the word." Now, people are trying to kill them. And what are they doing? They're not saying, let's be very quiet. We don't want anyone to know we're the ones they're trying to kill. No, they went around saying, hey, anybody told you about Jesus? That's why they were being hunted. But they didn't stop telling the message because they knew everyone needed to hear the truth. And one of those guys, Philip, who was one of the first deacons, was preaching in a town in Samaria. Now, Samaria, to the Jewish people, there was severe prejudice between the Jewish and the Samaritan. If you look, some of you younger people in history, you see there used to be a time in our country when there were whites only and colored only. A time when there was severe racial division. There are some people that want to see that again today. But that's how it was, and then even more so between the Jews and Samaritans. If a Jew happened to get some dust from Samaria on his feet, he would wash his feet because he didn't want Samaritan dust on his feet. Now, if someone was going from Jerusalem up into the north to Galilee, in between was Samaria. Now, Jerusalem and Galilee are on a high plateau on the west side of the Jordan River. But some of the Jewish people were so insistent, so hating the Samaritans, they would go down from Jerusalem, cross over the Jordan River, go up past Samaria, and then cross the Jordan and go uphill again just so they didn't have to travel through Samaria. The Jewish people hated the Samaritans because they viewed them as half-breeds. You're only part Jewish. You were those that were left behind or that were brought in when the Assyrians took out the northern 10 tribes and deported them and brought in other people. So you're intermarried with other people of the world. That's not good to the pure bred Jewish individual. So there was hatred. But Philip went down there. And guess what? The Samaritans are wanting to hear about the Messiah. And there's revival in Samaria. Philip brings the good news. Now there's a guy there. A guy named Simon. Simon Magus. Which is one of the translations for magician, or the Greek transliteration. He was one that practiced sorcery. He was one that used demonic powers to create types of miracles. And people watched him. There used to be a day when people would go and magicians would come around to different cities, and like David Copperfield and Penn and Teller. I think Penn and Teller is still there. I don't know if David Copperfield is still around or not. But there are many magicians, sleight of hand artists, that would do these things that would amaze people. And people, wow. I remember seeing David Copperfield walk through the Great Wall of China. He went behind a curtain on one side of the Great Wall and then came out from a curtain on the other side of the Great Wall. I still don't know how he did that, but it was a magical illusion. There was another magician that made Diamond Head disappear in Hawaii. I do know how that was done because they had this audience sitting on these bleachers. They had this picture frame of the curtain, and there's Diamond Head there. They close the curtains, open them again, and Diamond Head is gone. The whole crowd was in on it. The crowd on the bleachers were on a turnstile or a turntable. And when they closed the curtains, they just spun the whole crowd at the same time. So they opened up the curtain. Diamond Head was back over here, but the crowd had turned. That one I found out how they did. But I still don't know how he walked through the wall of China. But he was amazing people. Simon the magician. But not only was he amazing people with his illusions, his tricks, his sorcery, he was saying, I get this power from God, and I am the great one from God. He was saying that he was God's spokesman. But comes Philip. And Philip presents the truth. And people are believing Philip because he's talking about God's message, God's Messiah, forgiveness, and people are baptized. Even Simon believes that Philip is a representative of the true power, because it tells us even Simon believes. But we find out Simon didn't have a saving faith. He just, like the demons in James 2:19, where it says, you believe there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. Simon believed that Philip was presenting a greater power. And then he begins following Philip. How you doing this? How you doing this? He's wanting to find out. People have been following Simon before. Now they're following Philip. Simon says, look at me. And Philip says, look at Jesus. There's a difference in their messages. Now, back in Jerusalem, the Jewish apostles hear that there's a revival in Samaria. So they say, let's check this out. So Simon Peter and John are sent down to Samaria to check out to see if this revival is real. And they get there and they find out, yes, they have believed the truth. They have repented of their sins. And then what happens? Peter and John pray for them, lay their hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Now, why? Why did this need to happen? Do you remember the division, the animosity between the Jewish people and the Samaritans? The Jewish people, they could understand salvation is for the Jewish people. I'm not so sure about the Samaritan people. Today, I was listening on the news about the Juneteenth celebration. Juneteenth is when a day of celebration when people in Texas found out that slavery was over. One person said, if you're white, do not expect an invitation to my Juneteenth barbecue. What? Cannot all people be joyful that slavery is over? All of us, regardless of our ethnicity, right now, used to be slaves of sin if we're a Christian. Everyone has been freed from sin. We should all celebrate freedom. But just like in the 60s and prior, there was division based on the amount of melanin someone had in their skin. People are trying to divide us again. There should not be that kind of division. There is one blood, one race, the human race. And that's what the Jewish people needed to understand. So when Peter and John got to Samaria, hey, they received the gift of God just like we did. We should not be prejudiced against the Samaritans. Peter and John went from Jerusalem down to that city in Samaria. But when they came back, it's a little bit different. Look what it says in verse 25. So when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they traveled back to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. God has shown he's not a respecter of the division that we have between Jew and Samaritan. God has accepted both the Samaritans and the Jews. And now they're preaching to the Samaritans. The apostles weren't doing that before, but now they are. But there's still some prejudice. Peter's going to face an issue with his last remaining prejudice in just a little bit as we go on. Well, the Samaritans, they're half Jewish, so that's okay. But what about the people that have no Jewish blood? The Gentiles. Peter, there's somebody at the door, Peter. It's from this Roman centurion named Cornelius. He wants to come and hear about Jesus. Will you go to him? And that is for a later day. You can read ahead. But what can we learn from this? God does not limit his salvation offer to any one person, to any one ethnicity, to any one location. God offers freedom from sin to everyone. Can you buy God's forgiveness? No. Simon tried to do that. Let me buy it. And Peter said, may your money perish with you. Repent. Now, did Simon repent? Well, the early church fathers tell us a little bit more about the history. Sort of like Paul Harvey used to do. The rest of the story. There's a belief called Gnosticism. Gnosticism is a belief that only spiritual things can be good. Any fleshly thing is evil. Simon the magician is reported by those right after the time of the apostles to have been one of the founders of Gnosticism, a false teaching trying to lead people away from the truth. Simon was still wanting to be a leader where people were following him instead of following the truth of Jesus. We need to remember, stick to the truth of Jesus. Now, none of us try to buy God's gift, do we? We don't say, hey God, look how many times I've been in church. Now I've paid for part of my salvation. Look how much money I've given to the offering. If we think we can buy our way by giving tithes, by giving attendance in church, and not giving over our hearts to God, we're in the same boat Simon was. What did Peter say was the problem with Simon? Your heart is wrong. We need to have our heart right with God, not just believe the facts. What do you believe? And what are you going to do about it? Now, if my wife believed that there was a snake outside that door, she would not go out that door. She's going to be here in a minute because the speaker's on in the nursery too. What door? What door? No. She would go out any other door. Some of you would be right there with her. There's a snake. Or some people, like my son-in-law, if you believe there's a snake out there, Can I have it? Yeah. He came over and rescued us from a snake that was outside our front porch. Because, you know, I'm not one that jumps way out of the way, but I'm not going to stick my hand down and grab what I don't know it. I knew what it wasn't, but I didn't know what it was. And I actually piqued my son-in-law's curiosity. He said, I got to find out what kind this is. And my camera, my little cell phone is scratched up so much, it was a fuzzy picture. And it was kind of neat because, yeah, I hadn't seen one of those in a while. So it wasn't poisonous. But he liberated our house from that snake and took it to a new home somewhere else that we don't know, want to know where it's at. Okay. Are you going to have action with your belief? If you believe Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, are you going to adjust your life accordingly? Are you just going to say, yeah, I'll just put that on the shelf with everything else I believe? There is only one name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no plan B. God doesn't have another plan of how to be saved. You can be sincere about believing a lie and be sincerely wrong. If you want to go to heaven, it's only through Jesus Christ. The choice is ours. Now, this past week, Tommy alluded a little bit to it because I share a little bit with him. I got to experience some of the extent of depravity of man from some of my students and the behavior that they thought was okay to present in the classroom. Not thinking anything's wrong with what they did. I've never seen something this bad. But it just shows what happens when you remove the truth from being presented. Philip was needed in Samaria to present the truth. We're going to talk about teleporting in the Bible. Next message. Because it uses a phrase where suddenly Philip was one place and then suddenly he's someplace else. We use the word teleported. God just says he moved him. God can do that. Or you can read ahead or come on back next time as we study God's word. God has given us his truth because he wants no one to go to hell. He wants everyone in heaven, and there's plenty of room. Stand with me for our closing prayer. If there's any questions you have, I'll be here at the end of the service. Standing at the front to answer any question you have. Lord, thank you for this time we could be here. Thank you for the example of Stephen, the example of Philip, the example of Peter and John. Let us follow their examples, not the example of Simon the magician. Simon heard the truth, he believed the truth, but he did not accept and live based on the truth. He wanted to focus on himself, not on you. Let us remember to give the focus to you, directing people towards you, so they can be with us in heaven. Those of us that have accepted your payment of our sin debt. In Jesus' name, amen.